purple or white or pink, short, tall, good-looking, handsome, healthy, bald, unhealthy, crippled, whatever, if you can get to that window and you hand them a four ticket in the 401, you're going to get paid off. But you can be the biggest manipulator in the boardrooms and bedrooms of America, driving Duesenbergs and Cadillacs and BMWs with chauffeurs and have $1 million, and with rare exceptions which have been caught and have been prosecuted, with rare exceptions, you can't walk up with a three ticket and get paid off when the 401. So it is fair. The parimutuel machine makes this the fairest business in the world. What it says is if you make the right decision, you'll get paid, and it's not based on your social status. What did we all dream of as kids? That this was a great nation where all men were created equal, and every one of us had a chance to be president or congressman or a titan of industry or whatever we wanted to be. About the age of 7, we started figuring out this is a bunch of baloney. By the time we were 16, we got pushed around enough, we knew that it was really baloney. But at the racetrack, you can fulfill that dream. If you dream that you want to be able to be standing in the sunshine, or if you're back here, sometimes it does rain a little, but you can always go where the sunshine is. In the good outdoors, being dependent upon no one but yourself and your decision-making, you can. You don't have to take any crap from any boss or supervisor. You can be your own person, truly free, and realize the American dream. As far as I know, this is the only business in which you can do that. Okay, we'll take a little break here, and then Dick will come on and give you some nuts and bolts. Thank you.
I have to start. I got one more thing to pass out, and we're ready. And, can't think or talk without a pen in my hand.
We just did this, kind of the same presentation out in Beaumont. And I don't know if you've been to other seminars, but one of the things about Howard is he's a little unpredictable. I never know what he's going to say. He was a little more down to earth than he normally is here. But we've done a lot of these beginners classes. And the reaction is many times the same. How many of you, the true beginners now, not the guys that are just sliding in here seeing if you can get a little extra work in, but the true beginners, how many of you are a little disappointed in what you heard so far? Nobody? That's amazing, because usually in a beginner's class, there's four or five, because they didn't come to hear this, you know, knowledge will set you free crap. They want to know what's what. They want to know the numbers. Had a little guy come up to me and said, there are three words about the W in the yellow manual. Which one's right? Well, and then he gets really upset when I tell him, hey, it doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter. I told a story out in California at the class, and it was so well received, I think I'm going to repeat it. And basically, when I was a kid growing up, we happened to live near a large municipal swimming pool, and I hung out there every summer. And summer after summer, I would go, and I'd play in the pool. And summer after summer, my mother would sign me up for swimming lessons. And by the time I was a teenager, I knew more about swimming than the average swimming coach. But I still couldn't swim very well. They'd get out there and they'd teach me the four-beat kick and the two-beat kick and the breathe right and breathe left and pull through on all the technical aspects of swimming. And I'd go up and down the pool. It was exhausting. It was frustrating, and it never worked. I never became a very good swimmer. And one day, for some reason, I don't really remember why, I had to pass a Red Cross test that involved hopping into the deep end of the pool, right out in the middle, and staying there for 15 or 20 minutes. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. swim in a little circle. You can't touch the sides. Swim in a little circle here for 20 minutes. I saw guys on the swim team who couldn't climb the ladder after they finished this. I mean, it's a very exhausting thing to do. And I figured, well, no way. Because I knew I just couldn't swim that long. That's a very long swim. And finally, one of the coaches came to me and said, you know, the rules here say you got to jump in the deep end and live. Doesn't say you have to swim. And he taught me and a few other guys how to do something called sculling. And basically what you do is you just kind of lay back in the water and you do this with your hands. This way and this way. And occasionally your head goes under the water and you just don't worry about it. You know you're going to come back up and you give a little extra push on the come back up, take a breath. I almost fell asleep out there during the test. It was wonderful. By the end of that summer, I thought nothing of putting on a mask and flippers, you know, for skin diving, hopping out into the ocean and staying out there for 4 or 5 hours without touching ground. When I got tired, I just sort of come to the top. I just scuttled along until I was rested again. And I went back to my diving. I loved it. To this day, I'm very comfortable in the water. I have a lot of natural buoyancy, which helps a bunch. But on the other hand, I'm comfortable out there. If I fell off a boat, I have a very good chance of living because of the fact that I'm not going to panic. I know what to do in the water. And I'm still not a very good swimmer. But I get the job done. And the thing is, if someone came to me and said, listen, I want you to teach me how to swim, how to be in the water, I'd start off by telling them, well, the first thing you have to do is learn to relax in the water and lay back and get comfortable. And they said, no, tell me about, is it the 2-beat kick or the 4-beat kick? Should I breathe to the left, should I breathe to the right? Should I pull through on the stroke or should I cut the stroke? And all this kind of technical stuff, that's what most beginners are focused on. They want the techniques, and they don't see that the really important part is relaxing and getting used to the methodology and just sort of letting it flow over you and getting comfortable within the methodology. So what I want to do is, before we start talking about all the nuts and bolts that Howard promised you, what I want to do is just walk through a race with you. It's not a difficult race. It's on page 1 of this manual. And this happens to be, we did a trackside clinic at Monmouth. We got into the track about 3 minutes before the fifth race went off. And I sat at the television monitor, and I watched the fifth race run. And I said, there's some of those others in the box. You'll need those, by the way, you'll need those throughout the seminar, so keep coming back with them. I watched the fifth race, and it was a race. Nobody came from 19 lengths back to win. Nobody wired the field by 5 lengths. It was just a race. I didn't see any particular pattern, so I said, well, I guess this track is okay. I guess this track is relatively unbiased. I knew nothing about it. This is literally the second race I ever saw in my life at Monmouth. Had no track profile. I had nothing to go on. Just like usual. Hi, Brady.
Hello.
My reporter.
Expect you from him.
Mm-hmm. You missed my wonderful swimming story. Isn't that a wonderful story? I like that story.
Nothing has a reputation or anything, but.
Well, hey, I don't really need a microphone.
I do have a stun gun right here.
Thank you. I do get carried away. So this is the second race I ever saw at Monmouth. I had none of the tools that you're going to learn to develop this weekend. So what I want you to do is just sit back. When I say a word that you don't understand, if I say, okay, now we're going to run APV. Oh, what's the formula for APV? You got to write it down. No, you don't. Let this race just wash over you and see if you can absorb the totality of what's going on here. And then we'll go back and look at the pieces. We'll spend the rest of this weekend looking at pieces. But I want you to see one race. Don't try to handicap it. Don't try to do anything with it. Just let this race kind of roll over you and see if it starts to make sense. Okay, we have a sprint here, claiming race, $20,000 claimer. This is a bread and butter race, 6 furlongs. The common, you know, this is just a race. You can't say anything about it. As I recall, let me see here, just a moment. Yeah, Tad's Folly was your favorite, but a weak favorite of 5-2, and no one stood out. Nothing too phenomenal about this race. So what I started was just using a process. When we put together the clinics, one of the things we left out in our plans, which we didn't realize obviously when we made them, was giving ourselves time to work the races. We started at 9 o'clock in the morning and we said, hey, we're going to handicap the race today. Well, where did we get the 4 hours before 9 o'clock? If you think we're getting up at 5, you're out of your minds. To handicap these races, you would not want to listen to me talk about races if I had gotten up at 5 o'clock. Trust me on that one.
Rub it up when you get up at 10.
You bet. And I mean, it would be, who cares? what do I care? It's your money. Get out of my face. That sort of thing. I'm not a pleasant person at 5 o'clock in the morning. So what we have, we just didn't have a way of handicapping. So we had to develop a way to pick contenders and pace lines alike quickly and do it on the fly. And this is sort of what we came up with. First thing we did is APV and class number on every horse in the race. Everyone. Doesn't matter what the horse looks like. Doesn't matter if you know this horse had one leg surgically removed just a week ago. You still do an APV and class on it. Every horse, every time, every race, or you don't play it. And we start with Abbott. 81 is his APV. 134 is his class. We do this on every horse in there. And you can read, so I'm not going to bother to tell you that. There should be one horse that kind of looms up off the page, actually, here. Bold Erica. 48.59. Wrong. No, probably not today. But we won't throw the horse out quite yet. We'll think on this horse, but we won't throw it out quite yet. Just a minute. I have my very own one of these things down here. Yeah, I made some notes that I wanted to refer to. Yes, I did. By golly. I just remember that. I remember making notes. Never mind. Bold Erica now gets a big question mark beside it. Everybody else looks pretty good. There's nobody that's terrible. Nobody is great. Everyone's in the same range. So we have a question mark by Bold Erica. Now we're going to do another technique, and don't worry about it if you don't know it. You will before you leave here this weekend. PBS numbers. We're going to run a PBS number. And you'll notice where what's the 116? Is that, that's the horse. Yeah, that's the weight. 116, 83. I'm sorry. This is an Eastern form. What do I know? That's not where they put the weights on our form. On a real form, they put it someplace else. Well, it's an Eastern crowd. I use nothing but Eastern races in this thing. There's only one Western race here. Come on. Give me a break. I try to play fair with you guys. Everyone used to bitch. How come there's nothing but Western races? Because we live in God's country. Why would we use these funky Eastern forms at the size of South Dakota and you have to fold some weird way? All right.
Californians are so easily challenged.
You bet. Okay, you see the 83 by the 160. That's his horse's PBS number. Don't worry about how I got it. I got it. Great Riches has a 75. Sweet Tyranny. Sweet Tyranny has pretty good class here. But it has Putrid, recent form. Now, some people want to say, well, wait a minute. We'll go back one and take the internal fractions. No, you won't. Grow up. Come on, that horse is slow. This is what a slow horse looks like. Don't put this kind of horse in the computer. No, 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 no. This horse is a bad horse. This horse, if you take those internal fractions, you get a 47, 112, and 4. This horse, look, you don't have to look any further than Abbott. Just ran a 44 and 1, 111. Come on, can this horse live on the same track with Abbott? No. Absolutely not. Zip, Sweet Tyranny is out. Mull over me. I didn't think anything would get much worse than Sweet Tyranny. I was wrong. Mull over me is even slower. 48? Is this a race horse? Come on, the Budweiser Clydesdales do 48. This is a slow horse. And he's been off since October. This was in about June 20, as I recall. Latter part of June. And so he's been off for 8-9 months. His class in APV is, and he is slow. Very, very slow. Zip, mull over me is gone. Bold Erica gets a 67. Moonshine and the rest, you can see, Majesticant gets a 67. Off the top line. With PBS, we use top lines. Okay, now I want to go back. I want to use these numbers that I've developed. And the one that just hopped right out at me is Bold Erica. It's got horrible class in APV and a bad PBS number. Zip, gone. Bold Erica has failed both tests. One failure is usually enough, but not always. I'm going to keep Majesticant because I want five contenders. It has outstanding, I think it has the best APV in the race, tied for best, and good class number. It's about the second best class number. So Majesticant, and there is some... there is some excuse for that last line that I used in that it was on a good track. So I can say to myself, well, maybe this horse doesn't like the goo. All right. I'll accept Majesticant. And you can see the pace line that I used. I'm now, just with those three simple eliminations, down to five horses. Abbott, what's wrong with that top race? Looks pretty good to me. On this track, at this distance, at this class, hey, Great Riches. Again, a good race on top. I mean, when I say good race, I mean it's on a good track. Maybe it didn't like it too well. It's not an outstanding race. Let's go back and see what it does on a fast track. Hop back a couple. That's my pace line selection tends to be very simplistic. A lot of people get really wound up in pace lines. I'll take the 17th back here, and I'll move it to here, and I'll take the first fraction there. No. Just put them in. You've got the most powerful methodology in the world for separating these things. Use it. Moonshine. Coming out of a tandem with Tad. But it's on the, what you call the outer envelope of the tandem concept. 4.5. That's almost not a tandem race. The tandem manual says 4.75. I think 4.5, particularly in a sprint, is right up at the edge. So he's going to use that top line. He's going to live and die with that top line. He gets no adjustment. Goes right in exactly as you see it. Plus, I mean, he has great class. He's hit the board every time. But his APB is nothing to write home about. You know, 109. And, yeah, sure. He destroys a field, this class, everything else. It was a class down, wasn't it? Taking a logical step up, ran a very good race. I see no reason not to use it. In it goes. Majesticant. I talked about the fact that one of the things that a good APV and class number will do for you is allow you to go back on a horse. So let's work our way back. I don't just hop back and say, well, let's see... that December 30 line looks good. You have to work your way back. Top line, we don't like because it's off a good race. The next three, we don't like because they're from Hialeah. Now, those of you on the East Coast should know Hialeah is a slow track. And though it can be adjusted for, chances are it's really not going to tell you much. I mean, these he's in against horses that are putting down legitimate 44s. Early 44s. 44 flat, 44 and 1, 44 and 2. You put this horse in off a line, it's a 46 and 3. I don't care if it's only 7 picks off the track record. A 46 and 3, why bother? Why bother? 46 and 3 is pitiful. Now, you also have to say, well, is that what the horse can do, or is that what Hialeah forced this horse to do? I think we're going to give it a break. I look at those big class numbers and say, this horse can probably do something. So I'm going to go hop right back to the Meadowlands, which is a roughly comparable track. Monmouth's a little faster, but this is roughly comparable. And away we go.
Next tape.